Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back. If you're new to me, I am Shu Allegra, the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. Everything we do here evolves around resilience, you know, from a coaching or counseling or consulting or training or courses. You know, everything we do here, even the books we write and publish are all, you know, all evolve around resilience. But this year I'm inviting more friends to the conversation, as you know, new and old friends, to come and kind of share their stories of resilience, but as they share, also to drop some nuggets of wisdom so that we can glean those on our own journeys as well. So today I have a new friend with me, Kara. Would you mind just introducing yourself?
Yes, hi Shu. Hi, nice to be here. It's nice to see your face hear your voice. My name is Kara Adams, and I live in Florida on the sunny Space Coast. It's a very special place to live because not only is it a beach community, but we just have the privilege of seeing rockets go off every week. You just step outside and there's a fireball climbing the sky. So it's a pretty special place to live. So, you know, being near NASA and SpaceX, you know. Anyway, awesome. I have over 20 years experience as being a teacher. And I currently teach others to be teachers online. Mm-hmm. I'm a director of a small preschool at this moment. And I'm also a mother of an amazing little girl in that preschool. And she and I, we lead a mother-daughter Bible study, which it's really amazing and rewarding to do. What else do? I teach Bible lessons online to Pakistan. I lead a women's Bible group, and now I'm a newly published children's author. So I do many things that center around children's faith and education.
Oh, love it, love it, love it. Yeah. Wow. And I have to say, that's a very, very special community. I'm sure I have three kids, and my two younger ones, my boys are 10 and 8. They would love to live somewhere where they can see rockets going off every week. Like, why are we not there yet, right? So, right. Wow, that's amazing. But thank you so much for all that you do. And that's a lot of hats, but I love how you kind of brought it up towards the end there, you know, your last statement. It's like you do a lot of things that center around children's, you know, education and faith. That, you know, it's so important for all of us, you know, to kind of always to think about the next generation, but also think about when we nurture, you know, the younger ones, we're building up a foundation, a structure that's solid for generations to come, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's amazing. So how did you get into this work?
Okay, well, that's a great story. I was a teacher for 20 years. And in the classroom, or about 20 years or so. And then I became a mother in my 40s, you know, later in life, and didn't want to teach anymore full time. But God just showed me that there was a plan for me to be a mother and a teacher, and also have a ministry, all mm-hmm. intertwined. And it has just been an incredible, incredible blessing. I just obeyed. I just listened. I just fell into place of whatever he put in front of me. And I said, yes. And I said, yes. And I said, yes. Yeah. So it came to me.
You speak my language. You know, I love the old hymn, trust and obey, right? My story is kind of similar where God just puts things in front of me. I say yes to it. And then he opens something else and it's yes to that. And then yes to them before I know, I'm like, how did I get here? Right? It's all these things that just happen. But the beauty in that, what you're sharing is that when, you know, a transition came, often people are like, oh, this, you know, now I'm a mom, now I have to choose between this or that. Mm-hmm. Something that God has done in my own life, and I've been teaching a lot of women, it's like at the end of the day, it's not this or that. It could be this and that, right? You can be a mom and still pursue your calling. You can be a mom and still pursue your profession. And it's not, and I know there's a whole big movement about like, oh, you know, you can be all things, you know, do all the things. I think it's not really to that level where you have to do everything that's out there and stress yourself out, you know, because as mom, there's so many things you have to do already, right? You know, that's not the point. The point is, do you know who you are outside of the roles that you have? Because when I know who I am, then I just operate in the identity.
Yes.
And it exactly just flows naturally. It doesn't feel like work, right? Hence the saying, like when you do what you love, it doesn't feel like work at all. Right? Whether it's parenting, yes, it is, you're going to be tired. You need to rest. But, you know, it just flows out of you and becomes an extension of who you are. And you cannot imagine not doing that. Life will not be meaningful if you don't do those things that you're called to do. Those things, no, it just gonna live out of, you know, of your, you know, of your identity, live out of those callings inside of you. So that's
it's amazing. It's amazing. And I wish it for everybody. I wish it for everybody. I feel bad for the people who don't have something that they love like that, you know?
Yeah. And that keeps us going too. I think, you know, my own journey of women that I work with, once you know who you are, you know what your calling is, life will happen, right? You know, it's no marriage for some of us, divorce, and then single parenting, and then illnesses, and, you know, things just happen. In grief, you might lose loved ones, you might have to move to a different area. Like, there's all this transition that happened for life. You know, you get a job, you lose a job, and some of them are, you know, are disappointing. Some of them bring grief, some of them bring, you know, sorrow and anxiety and all these different things. But when you have something that's meaningful that you're pursuing, right, it keeps you going.
Absolutely.
It helps you build that resilience.
Yes.
So if you don't mind, just, you know, there's kind of piggyback on that a little bit, if you might, you know, and share your own story, like how as life has evolved from all the things you're doing, how have you been able to keep moving forward? How does your calling and the gifts that you have inside of you have kind of laid that path for you?
Wonderful, wonderful way to put that. And yes, I'd like to talk about resilience in two parts. First, of how it's my own journey in resilience, and then also how I teach it with my students and with the children, because a big part of that I get to pass on.
Exactly.
So, you know, one of the keys of resilience, I think, is preparing for it, preparing to be resilient, and not just being like, "Whoa, something's just a big life change," and then you've got to find your way to climb out of it. But just preparing for it now. So, you know, for me, it's personally realigning with God's will. Because like we said, if we have that purpose to go, and for me, it is to do God's will. And so we encounter all those setbacks and situations, you know, that can potentially push us out of God's will if we allow it. But this could be rejection, loss, failure, illness, tragedy, you know, all of those things. But, you know, the Bible tells us to count them all joy, and we are running that race with endurance. And in fact, we really don't ask for the trial to go away, but just for more endurance to handle it. I was listening to a pastor, Clay Scroggins, in North Point in the Atlanta area, and he calls resilience redirecting our response to those setbacks. Yeah, right.
Redirecting our response. Wow.
To those setbacks or situations. And that, not that we have to look inward to try to do it, but upward. And you know, when Jesus was in the river in Matthew, and he was in the river and he was being baptized by John the Baptizer, and the Holy Spirit ascended and descended on him, and we hear a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love and I'm well pleased." He knew who he was. You mentioned that a minute ago, you know, he knew who he was, his identity, and that gave him the strength to deal with the worst rejections and the worst setbacks, and just all kind of, that gave him he knew who he was, and he was able to just be resilient for his entire ministry, because that happened before his ministry.
Right.
And knowing who I am in God, that gives me the strength to face any rejection and setbacks and that kind of thing. So when I was younger, I used to try to find resiliency within. I mean, when I had my first heartbreaks, you know, any kind of falling out I had, like in my teenager and college years, like any kind of falling out, or some guy dumped me, or I failed at this endeavor, I was reinventing myself. I'd get a makeover, I'd change my hair, I'd change my handwriting, I'd change my voice, whatever I could do to reinvent myself. And it was exhausting. It's exhausting to try to reinvent yourself all on your own. And then I got divorced in my early 20s, and that I didn't have any strength to bounce back at this point. There was just nothing else that I could do. This was the biggest low point for me, and finding the resilience on my own to do that, I couldn't. And that's when I met Jesus, and my life has changed forever.
You met the best man ever, and he changed everything.
Yeah, it's forever. And I was so angry. I was so empty. I didn't know what I was going to do until I met him and realigned my life with him. And I've been staying close to him ever since. I should have never married that person. I should have never made some of those choices that I did back then. So that's what I'm talking about. But one of the things about resilience is preparing for it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was living this black and white photo when I could have been living in an HD color video movie, you know, Hollywood production.
So, the big shebang, right?
Yeah. His plans are perfect, you know, his plans are perfect for us, you know. And I met a woman who her husband and her children, three children, they all died in a car accident. And on the way to school. So she lost her whole family. And her attitude was, I couldn't understand her peace. Mm-hmm. And I knew that if ever I was going to have some kind of tragedy, that I also wanted to have this kind of peace, that everything was going to be okay. You know, yeah, that she was sad, she mourned, but we just don't stay sad. We're going to be resilient. We're going to be bounced back, because we're going to realign with what God wants for our life. He's going to tell us what to do next, and he's going to give us the strength. Mm-hmm. So for me, fast forward to 2020, when we had COVID and then the quarantines and everything, I was definitely so at peace. I was not really worried about, I don't know about you, but I wasn't too worried about the pandemic. I knew this was going to pass and that we would be resilient as a nation and as a world, and we were going to heal from it. And then a few months later, I got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Wow. And I was going to need 6 months of chemo and everything. And I was like, okay, here's my opportunity. This is an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I looked at it as an opportunity and not a setback. I am going to do something with this time. I am going to, do something to glorify God, and I'm not going to just be depressed the way I might have been years and years ago. It's going to be okay. I'm going to bounce back. I have the Lord no matter what happens. If I lost my whole family in a car accident, or if I had chemotherapy, I still have the Lord, and he still has plans for me, and he still is perfect, and he's still in control. And, you know, he's going to get behind the wheel. Which he did. So I always wanted to write a book, a children's book. And I was able to write it and publish it while I was in treatment. And it's all about God. So it was just one of those things. And now I'm in remission. So thank you. And I was just, you know what I wanted to mention is that there were still my feelings. Like, I still had fears and I still was worried about it and everything. And I think that's okay. You still have to let yourself feel those feelings. It wasn't like I was like, oh, okay, cancer, yay. But you still have those things, but you just don't let yourself fall apart. And you just, Jesus, every time he was overwhelmed, he got alone with the Lord, and he went off and found a place to pray. And that's what you do. You stay close to God. You have your feelings, you get off and pray, and you have a support. You got to have your support group. You got to have your church, your family. You can't just do this by yourself. Yeah. So I had so many people around me that were pouring out their love to me. And it was just an overwhelming, amazing experience because of that alone, even just the amount of love that I received from all of those people. So again, it goes back to that prevention type of approach I'm talking about with resilience is have your people, you know, have your people in
before
place
before the
now.
Crisis happened, right? Yeah. Get that support system before you're in need of one. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so for years as a teacher, I taught mostly kids with, mostly children with emotional and behavioral disabilities. So I spent a lot of my day helping them to be resilient because they would have their breakdowns about all kinds of things all the time, you know? And, there's the ones that would just, they would try something a couple of times and then they would give up and they can't do it. You know, they were so afraid of failure that they wouldn't even try. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other ones that were like so traumatized by whatever experience that they've had in their life, their little childhood traumas, that then they were tough. They were like, they were bullies, you know, had the oppositional defiance disorders, like the sky is green, and it doesn't matter what you say. What
you say, right?
Yeah, they have like the opposite of resiliency. They can't be. They will not be set back. They will not be wrong. But they both had. They both needed to learn resiliency in different ways. Right, so right. Some of the things that I would do with them. Winston Churchill says that, or did say that resiliency or success is just moving from failure to failure. Mm-hmm. So we have to teach the children how to fail. I mean, as teachers, we have to teach them how to fail, because we are just in this quickly moving society that trying and things are easy and things are comfortable. So it's very difficult to teach children that they have to try and try and try and try and try before we get something. So, and Tavis Smiley has a book called Fail Up. Mm-hmm. And if you're familiar with the growth mindset, mm-hmm. you know, that we're teaching the children to fail up, to fail forward. Mm-hmm. And some of the ways that I would do that is like, well, I teach mostly young children. So I'd give them a color page and okay, everybody just scribble all over this page. Nobody color inside the lines, because believe it or not, that's something that children have meltdowns all about. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, can't color inside the lines. So we're going to scribble all over this page, or we're going to have a race and the slowest person wins, because there's always somebody that was getting upset that they're not the fastest one as well. And so they don't, so they quit, they give up. So we're teaching them that resilience, and we just celebrate every little progression. And we celebrate, even if they make a mistake, high five, good job, you tried. And we just celebrate every little progress they have for these young minds, because they don't have the skills to be resilient on their own, and they don't want to try. So we have to really be heavy on the trying with them, and this and rewarding every little success with them.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of these things with my daughter. She's 4. But I also get to talk to her about faith all the time. So it's I'm blessed in that way. And you know what? She is so thankful. And that's another thing that with resilience is, if you practice gratitude, if you can help your children be thankful about everything, and you can find your way to be thankful about everything all the time, even the sheets on your bed or the comb in your bathroom or the air that you're breathing today, you know, if you can find a lot more ways to be grateful, then it's not such a crisis when these bad setbacks happen to us and stuff. So that, again, it's a part of that prevention process of being grateful.
Such wisdom in that. And for those, you know, people listening or watching, you probably heard some of the things we talk. Gratitude is such a big part of resilience, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, just some of the things you said, just kind of pull back from there. You know, one is looking at challenges, looking at adversity as an opportunity, right? And not backing out like, oh, this came, I'm going to pull away, you know?
Yeah.
And I think about, yes, for children even, but even for adults, I think for all of us, is that when challenges happen, like, what is the opportunity here? Well, right. You took the time, you know, you got a cancer diagnosis and you took that time to focus and, you know, and write a book and publish it, going for chemo. That's huge.
Thank you.
Most people are like, what can I do with this? And I'm done. Even same thing with pandemic. When COVID first happened, like, well, you know, we're done, we're doing, we just don't do anything. But again, you see it as an opportunity to start doing things, you know, things that you are putting on your to-do list forever. And you got to take the back burner. And now you can bring those dreams back to life. You know, my first book, I wrote after stroke, like I coming literally out of the hospital, couldn't talk, couldn't walk. And I had all these journal entries in my computer. I just started editing and revising them and then writing some more, and it became a devotional. So yeah, what is the opportunity in your adversity?
Yes.
What is the opportunity in your adversity? And I also love how you mentioned, you know, it's, you know, it's giving others, you know, children, adults, all of us, opportunities to fail. And, you know, if we even redefine failure, I don't think there's such a thing as failure, right? We're always learning. Mm-hmm. It's a new attempt at learning. You know, you're learning something new, you know, you tweak and then you try it again. So if you look at it that way, so you're never failing, you're just growing, you know, you're just discovering, you know, what you can do better. And then you're looking, it's an opportunity to learn. And so you want more of those opportunities, because the more I learn, the more I can grow. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then we shouldn't be afraid of adversity, because it's an opportunity. We shouldn't be afraid of failure, because it's an opportunity to learn and grow.
Exactly. Right. There's something to learn. There's a message in the mess. There's something to learn. Push through, you know, climb out with your gratitude.
Yeah.
And realign yourself with God. What plan does he have? What are you getting out of here on the other side?
For this season, right? Thank you so much for sharing. So I'm thinking, like, now I want to know where people can get your book, right? And mm-hmm. maybe there's other ways that people can connect with you, follow you, support you, you know, let us know.
Absolutely. Well, I have the easiest is my webpage is Kara-Adams.org. And all my social media is on there, my Twitter, my Instagram, my Facebook. The book that I wrote is called If God Was a Kid in Your Class. And you can get that on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles, Books a Million, all the booksellers, and also from the webpage, of course. Mm-hmm. If you live in the Space Coast area, I've been touring churches and schools and reading my book and talking to the children. So if you live in the Space Coast area, especially if you're a church or a school, I would love to come visit and read to the children. Awesome. So look me up.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for all that you do. I love that title. I love that title.
Well, what a privilege it has been to talk with you. You're so accomplished in your field. So I'm looking at a mentor here.
Only awesome. By God's grace, right? I pretty much, you know, turn every adversity into opportunity, like literally.
Yes.
You know, when
yes.
I first started, I used to joke, oh, when you turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones you find during the journey. And then we put that in the website. And then I didn't realize that 6 years later, I'll keep, you know, having to kick, you know, a lot of stepping stone, lot of stumbling blocks and turn them into stepping stone. It's mm-hmm. been such a journey of resilience, you know. And I actually, speaking of books, so just a month ago is January 30th, I believe, was when we released Be Resilient. It's a collection of stories, and actually there's a whole workbook at the end, you know, stories, strategies, and tools to help you rise above your circumstances. So opened the book with that chapter, and literally my chapter is titled Beauty to Ashes, you know, one woman, you know, found purpose in her pain. It's like every little thing that came my way, God has been repurposing and recycling it for this. You know, I do all that I do in my field because I've been there and needed that. And it just became this evolving, you know, I don't know, journey, not just resilience, but journey of opportunity, you know, adversity, yes, but opportunity, each adversity turned into opportunity. Now it can be a blessing to many, not just to me.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, wonderful. When we say yes to God, it opens more doors. And it's been a wild ride, but one that I will, you know, I cannot imagine not doing what I do.
He puts you on an adventure.
I get depressed when I don't do what I do. Like, just being real, knowing who you are, knowing your calling and your talent, when you're not operating in that way, it creates depression.
Yes,
because there's a gap between your reality and you know, your reality might be down here, you know, and then your vision is up here. That gap there creates that disappointment that can create grief, that can create, you know, depression. And yeah, it's the things that we can work on. So anyone listening, if you're struggling to know who you are, whose you are, and mm-hmm. what you're here to do, you know, please connect with me. But I also encourage you, go check out Kara's website. We'll put the link there, you know, connect with her. And even for more things, I'm thinking, I know you said about, you know, if there are people in Florida, you can go to school and churches. But now with, you know, technology, you can access more churches and schools virtually. So I'll put the offer there for everybody. You know, I'm volunteering her. So if you are part of a church, part of a school, she has a great message to inspire and empower young minds and mature minds as well. So please connect with her. And thank you, Kara, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, like, thanks for letting God's light shine through you. It's an honor to know you.
Awesome. Well, you have a great weekend.
Thank you. God bless.
Thanks. God bless. Bye-bye.